You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts, Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest. Well, let's just call him a guest. Well, he's here. Gary Hedges. Tonight's episode.
He's feeling special.
Woo. Tonight's episode, Mr. Wrestling Podcast 2.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we take a trip back in time to sample a whole load of anime about wrestling. And joining us tonight is my wrestling show attending buddy, Gary Hedges, who will attend wrestling with me, but apparently won't watch the shows he was supposed to watch for the podcast.
Oh.
Well, we've got him on anyway, because otherwise how are we going to do the game at the end?
Yeah, I've got to beat someone.
Well, it could be a nil score draw again.
Oh, if it's wrestling related, which I would imagine it is.
It's not.
I think historically, on my appearances on the podcast, I think I'm up on quiz wins against wrestling.
Possibly.
Unfortunately, I don't keep a record. Maybe that's something for 2016. We'll start a league.
Oh, and the winning prize at the end of the year.
But Anthony, unfortunately, will probably get that prize because he gets to take part in it.
Well, exactly. So I'm all on board for that.
Okay, let's talk wrestling. So we're going to talk a bunch of shows, like an episode here and there. The biggest chunk will be from the first show we talk about, which will be Kinnikuman. Then we shall be talking about the first episode of Plowress Sanshiro, instead of a second run-up at saying that word. And then we'll talk about episode 7 of the Dirty Pair OEV series, also known as Dirty Pair 2 or Original Dirty Pair. Then, from the 90s, we'll take a look at episode 1 of Metal Fighter Miku, before bringing ourselves up to date with I Wanna Be the Strongest in the World, episode 1. Okay, guys, let's start with Kinnikuman. So, this is the original Kinnikuman series. We've previously been on this podcast and talked about its sequel series in the dubbed version known as Ultimate Muscle, which Gary was on the show for.
When was that? Because
quite a while ago. I think we watched the first 5 episodes or so of that.
Oh, yes.
So I got these guys to watch episode 1 and then episode 10 to 13, because part of the problem with Kinnikuman is it doesn't really start off as the show it eventually turns into. It was originally like an Ultraman parody in the comic. And so while it had already turned into a wrestling parody by the time the anime came around, it's sort of had to still do the Ultraman stuff to set up some of the other characters who are going to appear, the other superheroes. Mm-hmm. So this show is about a superhero known as Kinnikuman, whose real name is Suguru Kinniku, and he is a goofy idiot. He doesn't even know that he is an alien prince at the start of the series. Until a guy from his home planet, Meat, shows up at his doorstep. And then there's various other superheroes like Terry Man, Robin Mass.
Brocken Man,
yeah.
Hype.
Oh, yeah, Raymond Man, Curry Cook. Some of them are more villains than superheroes. But the big two at this point are Kinnikuman and Terry Man. And Terry Man is based on Terry Funk.
Okay, I didn't know he was
the
American wrestler.
Terry Funk, okay.
Yes. But he was a legend in Japan at this point already, so.
Makes sense. And he's very pink.
He is.
Very, very pink. It's like a kid's coloring book, you know, when you would draw someone and you'd color the skin in pink, because that's what color skin is. Well, at least when you were a child. Yeah.
So the reason I picked episodes 10 to 13 is that's part of the Chojin Olympics arc, and it's around the point at which it becomes straight wrestling matches. I think the start of it is more sort of like athletics type things done by giant superheroes in order to round out the people who are going to be in the wrestling part of the championship. So what do you guy think of this?
it's so funny. I didn't realise it would be so funny. At first I was like, oh, I don't know if it's going to be as good because from the first episode, as you say, there's not much wrestling involved, and I kind of like the wrestling, but as soon as you see an old man drop a piece of hot ash down Knicker Man's underwear, I was like, yep, I'm on board. I'm on board.
Yeah, because that is how they discovered that he's this prince, is he's got the royal seal on his buttocks.
Yeah, it's very... It feels so slapstick, and then I don't get his, like, what is the food that he eats? Gyudon? Beef? Gyudon, yeah. Whatever it is, and he does this dance whenever, shows this dance, and it's like, ugh. But then you just fall in love with Knicker Man. I don't like the look of him as much as Kid Muscle and Ultimate Muscle, because I kind of, I don't know, perhaps I like him a little bit more clothed, but it's not a bad look. It is a mask, isn't it? That he's wearing. So how, yes, for all these years, because we can presume he didn't know that obviously he's an alien prince and whatnot, but how old is he meant to be?
I don't know. He doesn't say anything in this.
And why has he never took the mask off?
I imagine probably because he's an idiot.
He definitely is. He definitely is. Do you ever see what he looks like without it?
I don't know. I mean, I've not watched much more than up to this point in the series. It's one of those shows where I feel I should like it more than I do. It's like, I quite like the drawings, I quite like the vocal performances, I like the wrestling idea and sort of the wacky character designs, but it always feels like it moves slower than I think it ought to have done. It'll get to like
halfway
the
point,
advertising
yeah.
break, and I think that's the end of the episode. So, what? No, there's more? Maybe if it was, it came out in sort of half episode chunks, I would be more on board. Or maybe the pacing picks up later.
See, I don't mind it too. I know, I get the criticism, and yes, I would agree, this has got your name written all over it, the humour, everything about it is, I was like, oh, Brian's gonna love this. But I can kinda see the criticism, yes, but I kinda don't mind. I like that it's quite drawn out at times, and there's a lot of build up for the tiniest little things.
Is it as over the top as Ultimate Muscle?
Worse.
Oh yes, yeah. In these, right, as a ramen man stretches Brocken Man into literal
and then
ramen.
Eats him. So he's yes. dead.
Nice.
He kills someone in the ring awesome. By eating them, and it's quite surprising because yeah, I didn't know how crazy it would be. And then it's like episode one, it's all this weird slapstick and you know humor, and then jump straight into episode 10, and you see somebody getting basically snapped in half. And then kneaded into a noodle, then swallowed. And he's a Nazi. He does do a Nazi. And one of his moves is the Nazi gas chamber, which he breathes poison. It's like, whoa!
Nice and clean.
There's, it could never be accused of being tasteful.
I was surprised. I was surprised at some of the stereotypes that are used.
It's wrestling.
I know. I guess, remember? You know, it does fit and it doesn't work. I'm not...
Those stereotypes.
Yeah, wrestling's been rife on stereotypes.
Yeah, this is late 70s.
It's
right.
When it was in its
worst. What's the curry guy called again? Curry cook. He's doing a dance and they describe it as he's doing an Indian dance. And it's a bit oof. But this is wrestling. So, but it is yes, funny still. But,
I saw on Twitter you were a big
fan
of
Robin Mask.
Mask
is brilliant. I had to Google Robin Mask without his mask. I just needed to see what he looked like. And he looks good. He looks good without the mask. I don't know, I just love that mask. I always remember an Ultimate Muscle like that. Kind of, it's like a knight. Oh, like a...
Did they have one on sale?
I don't know, but if there is, that's what I'm going to cosplay for Expo. Not old school Robin Mask. I guess I would do new school.
Oh, it's out of stock, I'm afraid.
God damn it.
It is, how much is it? It is £18.
That is so cheap. Could you see, if you Google Robin Mask, it brings up bloody Robin there from...
Well, yes, because he wears a mask.
Yeah, it's a shame because Robin Mask is way better.
And they're both references to Robin Hood.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
It's both a pretty much of a stretch to tie into Robin Hood, but that is what they're referenced.
But he's such a badass. Robin Mask is... I just love... I don't know if we're going to go into that much here, but the whole idea of Terry Man being like the crowd favourite, and then he comes in, he's fighting dirty, and it's like, oh no, and I was getting really into it. really, really into it. And then he's beating Robin Mask, and the crowd are cheering Robin Mask to get up, and I wanted to be at the show. Honestly, if there was a Robin Mask in current wrestling, whatever country, whatever series, I would be all over it.
Oh, you need to find the Kaniku Mania show from a few years back where they had live-action versions of all these wrestlers, including a Robin Mask.
It's weird because some of the pictures of him, he kind of looks like... what's the thing Krang sits in from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? What's the big body called again?
I don't know.
I didn't know.
Oh, well, whatever that is, he kind of looks like that. He's got that physique. But no, I need that mask. I need that mask.
Actually, yeah, looking at a couple of pictures, he does.
I need that mask.
I can see the similarity.
Good, it's not just me. But yes, I need that mask for Expo, ideally now. I also need a bodysuit so I don't look fat and not muscular. Oh, too much effort already.
I'll look at other ones who show up later. There's lots of weirdos. Zorro Man, Viking Man, Yeti Man.
I'll tell you who else looks really good. What's the, I guess, the main villain that we're getting reduced to, the skeleton guy?
Oh, yeah, what's his name? He's like a diabolic type.
Like his, the mask excluded, or the face excluded, I love that outfit. It's like a skull man, kind of. He's got the red scarf going, and it's a good design.
Yeah.
That could be a good cosplay.
No, I can't remember that guy's name. And his henchman's like
a pile of
rocks.
Yeah, and the other one's like a bug.
Yeah, later on. I think by the time you get to the Chosen Olympics bit, that guy's gone home. So he's got a feather.
Because I'm sure there's a bit where I'm sure they all do something, and he can't because he's got pincer hands. So he can't do it, but he still tries. I can't remember. It was a bit of a blur, but yeah. There's a lot of likeable characters in this. Even Meat. I never liked Meat in Ultimate Muscle, but Meat's, I don't know, maybe it's because he doesn't have that silly voice. You know, the...
Yeah.
Kid Muscle. I don't know. Whatever that typical voice is, I don't like... Yeah, that voice. I don't like it as much as this.
And his dad's an idiot as well.
Oh, he's got the worst facial hair. It's horrible. It's horrible. Oh. But yeah, I like this. Even if it was just for Robin Mask and I guess Brocken Man.
Yeah, we should say the animation is not great, but I think it does a good job of covering that up with the drawings.
It's got that weird, so when Kaniku Man's kind of crying or hurt, his eyes kind of become liquid, like the actual outline of his eyes, and that looks quite good within the style.
We should also talk about Akira Kamiya, who's doing Kaniku Man's voice, who was Mendo in Yusei Tsura and the most popular voice actor of this period, at least for male voice actors. And I'm sure the direction must have been just shout, make your vocal cords hurt as much as possible, because the amount of shouting he does in this show.
Does he do all
ridiculous.
The different styles of voices as well, where he's like serious mode?
Yeah,
and
so anything Kaniku Man says, he does that voice. Yeah.
It could easily be different people, because the voice is so different.
It's huge, wide range of reactions and sort of faux. Yeah, as you say, faux seriousness. He's trying to play the superhero. And when he gets over his fear of leaks, he's a dangerous fighter.
Yeah. I don't get that. I guess that is something that's brought up earlier on. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. This is kryptonite. I can't work out. I can't put my finger on what it is that throws the pacing off for me. But there's something there. And it's annoying because I want to like it more than I do.
Even like the commentators, I'd be like, I was thinking, Brian's going to love these two. You know, like the little, well,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I like them, yeah. I remember having, I definitely had them as the figures in the Muscle toys. And they came to the UK as millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere. Do you remember those, Gary? Muscles. Is Gary still there?
I don't remember those. I'm just trying to think. There was, There was the military muscle men toys that were like small little wrestling looking figures, but I don't know if they were the actual same thing.
No, muscle were like little pink figures. Everything was
pink.
Oh,
yes. Yes, no, I do remember
those. Were the things you would throw at each other? You would, well, throw them at the figures themselves.
I think you could get them, you used to get them out of those little sort of,
they came in
the vending machines where you put the, your 50p and you twist the dial and it comes out in a little.
Yeah, they came in all sorts of, yeah. I think they were gachapons. In Japan, I'm sure they probably had them, some people packaging them in the
US. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a long time ago because this is, we're talking junior school, I think. So like,
yeah, I can't remember what the Japanese name for those sort of things are. They brought out some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure ones recently.
Oh.
Mm.
There's those candy toys where they're selling them as candy, but you barely get any candy. You're mainly getting the toy. I could only assume for some sort of tax dodge.
Probably.
Because I've got a bunch of One Piece ones similarly.
Yeah, we used to have those at school. Although back then, I'd never seen Ultimate Muscle because I don't know. Did it get shown over here?
Not until the 2000s. So yeah, it was. I had no idea. I was just buying them because they were
toys.
Funny looking toys, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the same thing. And everyone at school, I think, had a few people swapping them and things.
Okay, that's Kaneki Man. You can't watch it anywhere officially, but I think a decent chunk of it's been fan-subbed, well into like the 50s or something.
Oh, has it not been released over here then at all?
Not the original series. Obviously,
only Ultimate Muscle. Okay.
Do you know how it ends?
I think it just keeps on going. There's like subsequent series after this, before Ultimate Muscle.
Okay.
I think they've released some of the comic, have they? Or was that just Ultimate Muscle they released? I don't know.
I don't think I would like the comic as much. I don't know if it would work as well. It may work better.
I think I've read some of it. It's pretty good. And you can get New Japan, the two guys who created it. What's their names again? They have like a combined name. Yude Tamago. They've been doing like New Japan Pro Wrestling t-shirts of sort of mashups of the characters from Kaneki Man with various New Japan wrestlers.
It's a Robin Mask one. I'll get it.
There is one, yes. I'm pretty sure there is a Robin Mask one. I can't remember who it was, but there is one. That is for sure. Okay, let's move on to Plares Sanshiro, which was a comic by Jiro Gyu, and it had a 37-episode TV series, which also aired in 1983. Did it air before or after Kaneki Man? Or I think probably around the same time. Oh, no, 3 months after Kaneki Man started, this came on. And this is a show about a young boy, Sanshiro Sugata, who takes part in plastic wrestling or plastic model wrestling. With his judo robot, Juomaru. And in this first episode, he tries to challenge the champion after he's beating up this other robot, but he gets thrown out because he's not a member of this organization. And they try and research him and his gang, how they're going to beat this champion, and then the champion sends a invitation to a an unlicensed match.
Yeah, underground.
Yeah, between his robot and Juomaru.
Mad Hurricane.
What was his robot called? That's it. Yeah, I know it had some. And the other champion is not like a high school kid. Like, this guy's a middle school kid. This guy's a full grown man who wanders around in a cape.
He's horrible.
And Sanshiro's sister, I think, describes him as being as big as the door, like, or something along those lines. And we should also mention the fan subs of this were probably Hong Kong subs because they are terrible.
I didn't pick up on anything bad, actually. I'm serious. Off the top of my head, there's nothing that stands out.
You could easily tell what was going on, but there were some really clumsily constructed sentences. Like, it looked like it had been like machine translated from another language. But yeah, you could easily tell what was going on.
Which isn't a lot, really. His grandfather doesn't want him to
do
it.
I wish I'd watched this, because the idea of an illegal underground fighting ring where people make pocket robots fight sounds awesome.
Well, that's, it certainly does sound awesome, and so that's why they got two series of Gundam Build Fighters out of it.
Mm.
And, what was it, Angelic Layer, that Clamp show was very similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think you can see similarities between this and anything else where the toy of the show is the same size in the show itself. So, like, Yu-Gi-Oh, obviously, cards are the same size as the thing.
Presumably Beyblade and the rest.
Yeah, Beyblade as well. This was before its time.
I was going to say, it sounds like, is this one of the first in that whole niche of collectibles that you battle with each other using?
Yeah, nothing really followed it. Apparently, the toys were the same size as these robots. And I think the problem might be that the robots were a little too big.
Oh, yeah, the yeah.
To sell the toys.
They would have been expensive if they had any level of detail.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, they were also made out of soft vinyl, so not only were they big, they've probably also deteriorated if they weren't kept in good condition.
Mm. I'm so iffy with this. I don't know whether I liked it, but it, initially when I put it on, I was like, oh, this is a great idea. I really like this. And then you just see them with the robots like on the shoulders, and I thought, oh, kind of loses its magic a bit when you realize it's actually just a really little toy. I wish I'd wear the suit. Well, I'd rather just see people in suits fight.
Well, hey, luckily, two shows time, we'll get to see just that.
Yeah.
I quite like it, but yeah, I think maybe the robots are a little big. Maybe they... LBX, that's the other one, which is tiny robots fighting in competitions. But they're the same scale as, say, like a Gundam robot.
Yeah.
Whereas these are, yeah, maybe just a little too big. And, yeah, Mad Hurricane's even bigger. Okay,
because it looks huge when that you first see it in the ring, and then you see it on his shoulder, and I thought, is that the same thing? Is that the same robot? Is that just like a little mascot? I don't know, but then you realise it's the same thing. And how they control them, I will never know. They literally have a QWERTY keyboard.
I took a screenshot of what he was typing in. It was I'm not sure if it was BASIC or something similar to BASIC, but he was basically just telling it to print the word Star Wars.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and the shift key, if you hold that down, it seems to do a lot as well. It does.
It looks good.
In the ending theme, you see Sanshiro flying in a hand glider through Tron as well.
Yes.
Which is...
And there's like a weird, like all of a sudden, partway through the second half of the episode, there's like a weird sexy woman appears who does nothing except watch them fight robots. I'm just like, who was that for? Was that for the dads who were watching?
Oh, and Sanshiro could easily be in Speed Racer. He's got like a...
Yeah.
Well, he's got like a big dodgy cap with 7 written on it. That could be his car. The Mach 7 or something, I don't know.
Yeah, as you said, his granddad is wanting him to do judo rather than robot fighting. Mm-hmm. And complaining that his mum can't keep him under control. And there's the there's of his gang, only two of them have got personalities.
Oh, big personalities, though.
Yes, so there's the girl, he's obviously got a crush on Sanshiro, but Sanshiro is completely oblivious. Because she's ready to go and fight these security guards who are holding him down and stuff. And then, what's the other guy?
Is this Shota, the guy with the slick black hair, sunglasses?
Yeah, slick black hair, sunglasses. Who basically takes this guy out on a date to find out information.
He's a good character. I do like him, but yeah, I guess his means are a little bit strange for that.
Yes, yeah. He basically took the guy who got beaten up at the start by the champion, basically trying to find out what he knew about him by buying him a cake, and he wouldn't help him. He was annoyed that he'd spent all that money. But yeah, he just seemed like a little wheeler dealer.
Yeah, future cosplayer that nobody would recognise.
I quite like the characters.
Yeah, they're alright.
Oh, is it Chohamaru, the name of the robot?
Yeah.
Because I liked him better when he had his gi on. Like, he looks better. Yes,
I was hoping he was going to wrestle in his gi.
I was just going to say, I just noticed the toy looks really good, and it comes with the gi that you can optionally put on. It's a shame the toy range didn't take off.
Well, is that the old one, or is that some new one made for people in their mid-40s who were watching?
Well, that's a very good point.
Because there is a line, there is a good bit of money to be made in selling robots to 40-plus-year-old men.
I don't know, it's a Hong Kong website, so who knows?
Who knows?
Actually, no, the entry looks like it was 2008, so maybe it was a more modern toy.
Yeah, could
as long as he's got that judo gi on, I'm happy. I'll get it.
Yeah, I'm seeing what else this character designer did. Future GPX Cyberthorn, that's probably the most similar thing to this. Yeah, that's a cool toy. Yeah, I think that's modern, because the 2008.
I feel like nobody would know where it is.
And the price. No kids.
How much, where's the price at?
17,000 yen.
That's a bit much, isn't it? How much is that? Is that like 100 quid?
No, it's not that much.
That seems like a lot. £91.
Okay.
I know my Hobby Link Japan prices. The human converter here.
I only buy stuff which is 3 quid. All this is translated, but as I said, I think it's a Hong Kong sub or a very bad, or a machine translated from another language fan sub.
Mm.
And it's got a annoying watermark that the fan sub group had put off into every episode.
Oh yeah.
What jerks. But then again, hey. Shouldn't look a gift horse either.
Yeah, it was alright. Sorry. I'm kind of surprised I've not heard of it. Because I don't know, I can imagine people liking it if they knew about it.
Yeah, it was one of those shows I knew the name of, but I'd never seen it. I don't think there was any opportunity to see it until relatively recently. But when you watch it, particularly after you've watched Gundam Build Fighters, you go, boy, Gundam Build Fighters owes it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to episode 7. Do apologize.
Gosh.
Okay, moving on to Dirty Pair 1987. The OAV. This is episode 7, directed by Shinichiro Watanabe of Cowboy Bebop fame. And obviously, Dirty Pair are named after the 1970s tag team Beauty Pair. Well, sort of as part of a joke that the author made after seeing them. And they kind of dress like wrestlers. They're weirdly in this episode when Kay is doing her wrestling at the start. She's wearing more clothes than she normally does. As this had a very similar plot to 1986's Wannabes OAV, and I was going to include the Wannabes OAV, and then I realised these are kind of similar. They're both about some sort of an illegal sci-fi steroid. And this is better than the Wannabes, so I figured we'd only watch one thing with the same plot.
Phew.
Because it's got the dirty
hair. I'm not saying phew because I hated this, but phew because I hate just the same episode again and again, like we have done in the past. So.
Only once. Only that one time.
Gosh.
So what do you think of this episode then?
I felt a little bit disappointed. I don't dislike it by any means, but I don't know, it was Dirty Pair. Watanabe is on board. I was like, I don't know, I kind of wanted a little bit more. And
it's, first things first, the OAV theme tune is no Russian Roulette, which is the TV theme tune. That's the first letdown. And yeah, it feels kind of, it kind of drops you into it right away, which I did quite like.
Yeah.
But the villain seems fairly low wattage, and we're supposed to be invested in this all of a sudden having a past with the Dirty Pair that we've never heard of before.
Yeah. Or the idea is she was a student and the Dirty Pair were chosen. She wasn't. That is it.
Yes. And so because of that, she decided to invest heavily in sci-fi space steroid
hard muscle.
Yes. Which turned her into looking completely different from how she used to.
She's huge.
So the Dirty Pair trying to take her down and stop this. But the main thing I want to talk about is, what's it called? Name Sandra Guts or something.
Which one? Oh, is that a name? Oh, I didn't even pick up on a name. Huh.
I think they call her Sandra the Bully or something, don't they? Or... But her henchman. What on earth is he wearing?
He's dressed like... I don't even know. He's like pink denim shorts.
And he's got a pink tailcoat, open-shirted with the sleeves cut off, and then a sleeveless... midriff exposing top over the top of the tailcoat, which is unbuttoned so you can see his belly. And he's not like he's been taken.
He's clean. Oh, yeah, he's not in it for long.
No, and yeah, he just kind of like seems to be treading water. He gets in like two wrestling fights, one steel cage, one at the start, and then. The one with Sandra later on when they kidnap her and bring her to base. And I think the stuff with Yuri being blinded.
I didn't get that.
I think that's...
Because I missed the scene. I rewound it because the idea is people shoot at her and I presume shards of metal going around or like spray from the bullet. I have no idea. But either way, it happened. I blinked and suddenly she couldn't see. And I was, why can't she see? And I just didn't know. Nor do I kind of guess it's a nice little idea that she can't see, but the other one still helps her shoot the gun, that kind of thing, but it wasn't really required.
Yeah, because Kay gets injured in the wrestling, doesn't she? So she can't shoot the gun, and the other one can't, and Yuri can't see where to shoot, so they have to do it together. And it does end with everything blowing up.
Oh, of course.
I think it should.
Because this isn't the factory a spaceship, and it's about to take off,
yes.
So they can't capture them.
Yes. So yeah, she's having this huge speech about how she's finally got the better of them, and they just blow it up with a rocket.
And then she jumps out the window.
Yeah. Not the greatest sturdy pair, but it passed the time. It moved. It still moved on along at a fair clip.
Oh yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can find that on YouTube. On Manga's YouTube channel. I think it's on Hulu and various other places as well.
Oh, we're going to hear you, Gary.
Yeah, there's better dirty pants.
Tiny
yes,
boy!
You're very, very quiet.
He's been...
quiet.
That's better.
So he's on reverse hustle steroid. Tiny.
Now, have you seen this OAV, Gary? You're a dirty pair fan.
I can't remember because I had the OVA series on VHS, which I've replaced with DVDs, but I forget if the VHS release was the, like what they call Dirty Pair TV or if it was the OVAs.
It was the OVAs.
I think in that case, I've probably seen it.
But the fact you can't remember says the world about the episode.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, it was a while back, but I did watch all of the VHS run. But as I said, I couldn't remember if it was they were OVAs or if they were the TV series. I knew that there was one or the other that I hadn't seen.
I knew that it existed. So obviously I remembered there was a wrestling episode and I did remember the design of the villain.
Yeah.
Well, I seem to recall them, the Dirty Pair wrestling more than once though. Like, there's other slightly hulky, both guys and girls, that they have to wrestle.
Well, yeah, I think that's part because they dress like wrestlers and they're inspired by wrestlers.
That was the thing, and I kind of, it was weird that I never picked up on that until I saw it happen in an episode.
Well, yeah, according to the, of course this wiki exists, the Animated Muscle Women Wiki.
Of course.
That her name is Sandra Guts, according to that, but other places have her as Sandra Guts. Which is probably, seems to be another YouTube channel, which I hesitate to, yes, it belongs to a YouTube channel called Super Muscle Brand.
Okay. Just before we move on, I don't know whether it's because you've planted the seed, me knowing it, what an army, but I could see this as a Cowboy Bebop episode. Jet going to this wrestling, underground wrestling thing and find out people are on steroids. And then it turns out to be his buddy from his cop days or something.
Of course it would turn out to be his buddy.
And
from his
I don't know, maybe it's because the seed's been planted, but this is kind of iffy as it is and kind of generic it feels. It could be Bebop. And it would probably be amazing.
It could be.
Could be Space Dandy, that'd be good.
The Space Dandy version.
Oh, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Big words.
But it would be. It would be great. Because you imagine they'd all...
I'd want to see every character take the hustle. So, like, Dandy, this huge hulking version of Dandy and QT, you would somehow get a computer one that you would download. See? That'd be great, actually. That'd be great. Yeah. Pitched Dandy fanfic.
Space Dandy Season 3. Okay, let's move on to Metal Fighter Miku, which I had seen the first episode before. I think I saw it at my very first anime convention. So that'd be 1995. I saw the first episode of this. And this is directed by, I think we now say Akiyuki Shinbo.
How did people used to say it?
Akiyuki Shinbo. Oh. The director of Madoka Magica.
That guy.
And this is a science fiction wrestling show taking place in 2061 AD. And it's not wrestling, it's neo-pro wrestling. Where people wear armor and then just do wrestling. But their armor is allowed to have like add-ons like tentacles and bat wings and claws. Apparently all except the heroes. The heroes apparently aren't allowed those such things.
What?
Though one of them does have like a weakness scanner, I think, in this episode. They can scan for weaknesses in their opponents.
Oh yes.
But our heroes are the Pretty Four, as opposed to the Dirty Pair or the Beauty Pair. Mm-hmm. And they are the team of the TWP League, who are like a small wrestling league. And they're also marketed as pop stars.
Does TWP stand for Tiny Wrestling People?
I don't know what it stands for. Do they mention what it stands
for? I feel like they do.
It might be, well, the guy who runs it is Tochichiro, so maybe it's Tochichiro Wrestling Promotion or something.
Mm.
But the main character is the newest member of this group called Miku, who is a big fan of name?
Yes,
Aquamarine.
Yes.
Who is the reigning queen of Neo Pro Wrestling. And so she's waiting to do her debut as a wrestler, and you've also got this other plot going on with Shibano Enterprises, where the daughter of the head of Shibano Enterprises thinks that Sapphire, this other wrestler, should become the queen again instead of Aquamarine. And then she happens to mention that Tochichiro Harajuku is debuting a new wrestler at the part that's Pretty Four, and then her dad decides he suddenly wants to destroy TWP for reasons not revealed in this.
Harsh.
Apparently has some history with this little old man. And then we sort of see their first match against
I should have noted that down.
Is it the Devil Sisters?
I don't think it was. I can't.
They're like a heart.
Yes, yes. Claws and obviously they've got wings.
Yeah. And apparently when you tag in, you have to like pass this bit of electrical plug-in into your armor. Presumably that's to prevent run-ins or something. But weirdly, on the our heroines, it is one of their breasts they have to pass around.
Of course, not a...
Interesting.
Not a physical.
Oh, okay.
But it is a weird choice.
Yeah.
It makes for an interesting visual, but it's a weird choice. And also an inconsistent visual. Because I think when they first put on all their armour, in like the clip they're obviously going to run repeatedly throughout the series.
They've all got them already in place.
They've all got them, yes. And then when they get to the match, they've just got one between them. And then at the end, there's a run-in from what they call the Moonlight Jewels.
Oh, yeah, they just show up at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's about it for this episode.
Yeah.
What do you think, Anthony? Was this as good as Madoka Magic for you?
Of course not. there's aspects of it I like, but I kind of don't know where it is. Like, with the whole, like, the idol thing and the dudes, obviously, because they offer him a chance for the Pretty Four to take part in this, like, big challenge, this big tournament, and he's like, no, I don't want them to.
Yes.
Because he organizes all the matches, which apparently, are they all meant to win? But
possibly. It's hard to tell what part of this is fixed and what
part of it
isn't.
True, because it looks like they're getting pretty badly beaten in their rest, and it's not just, like, for sure beaten either. So I don't really know.
Which is always the problem with these things, is obviously wrestling is fixed, but do you want to acknowledge that in a fictional representation of wrestling? Does that destroy the appeal of wrestling? Because you've got the thing where Yoko wants Sapphire to be the queen of neo-pro wrestling again. So that bit suggests that her dad is actually booking the wrestling and can give her that. But yeah, but at the same time...
anything could have it happening. But it's all right. I wouldn't watch it. I would, you know, I'm not really particularly pleased. I'd say I've seen it. It's just one of those shows that was probably, at the time, I may have enjoyed, but I don't know, I feel like it's lacking something. I don't get the need for... As I said, why four people? It seems a bit extreme.
Because that's twice
tag
as good
team,
as
yeah.
two. And also maybe it's playing on people's memories of liking Bubblegum Crisis.
Oh, okay.
Of four women in power suits. Which is essentially what this is. To the point where I had forgotten this was about wrestling. Even though I'd seen the first episode. Until I came and watched it a couple of years ago, I was like, I had completely forgotten it was. I thought it was something much
sci-fi
future sports, where it was something which didn't resemble pro wrestling as much. But no, they're wearing these power suits, but they're still tagging in and out. They're still in a ring.
But there's no rule. I don't know. I don't know where rules start and rules end. I guess there is none.
No, and it feels like a wrestling thing as well. Do you say, except for like having the four person tag teams, but maybe again that's so they could be more like pop stars. Because it was
Survivor Series.
Yeah, or like Survivor Series. But that was a thing which had happened in 2 points of when Japanese women's wrestling peaked, is that they would make the top stars also pop stars.
Oh, okay.
They'd have them release records. And they'd, unlike when it happened in America, those records actually sold.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that they did that in the States too.
Which wrestlers did it in America?
Well, Hulk Hogan has released an album.
Okay. Is that quite recent?
Yeah.
He's got a record label though, hasn't he? I'm sure he does.
He bought a record label for his daughter to try and
about.
Get her music career
that's
off
what
the
I'm
ground.
About.
Yeah.
And there was that WWF album that Simon Cowell produced. Where they had like all the wrestlers singing songs on it.
I don't know.
Yeah, they've done a few of those, sadly, and they're, for the most part, not great.
No. And of course there was that version of Jingle Bells by The Destroyer we listened to on one of our Christmas episodes.
Nice.
But that was for Japan. Yeah, this looks much better than I remembered it being. For a mid-90s TV show... It looks
pretty
great.
I guess it does. And I like Miku for a start as well. I think she's a good character. All the four of them are alright. One of them was like really ditzy.
Yeah, I can't really remember two of the characters' personalities, but I can remember Miku and the character. Ginko.
I was going to say, looking at the character designs, had I have come across this in the 90s around the time when I was really into Bubblegum Crisis et al, I would have almost certainly picked it up on Impulse Buy. Because wrestling fan, girls in power suits, yep, that'd have been me, that'd have been sold. They did a Sega Saturn video game for it as well, that I've just been trying to read up on. For Metal Fighter, Star Miku, they made a Sega Saturn video game. Although, the interesting thing is, I can't see all of the videos of it on YouTube. Just have lots of anime cutscenes and dialogue and seemingly no actual gameplay.
That's probably the gameplay.
But yeah, I was going to say, but looking at the genre of it on a lot of websites, it's actually down as an adventure game rather than a straight up arcade style wrestling game, which seems odd. So it's an anime about wrestling, but the video game isn't a wrestling video game. It's an RPG.
Well, yeah,
adventure.
Yeah, you have to remember there was like Captain Tsubasa games where it was basically almost like a choose your own adventure thing.
Yeah, that's what this looks like. It looks like it's, you kind of choose parts of the body to target, and then you argue, you kind of pick dialogue, and based on that determines whether or not whichever character you're playing as wins the fight.
Yeah, it's more like a simulation than...
It might, yeah, it may be that you're just playing through the actual arc of the anime.
Yeah.
Graphics look good though. You know, Sega Saturn had some very good.
I was gonna say, it may just be bits of the anime.
Yeah, probably. Insert the occasional button press.
Battle Fighter Miku, I don't think that was released by various people, but I don't think it's released by anybody at the moment.
No.
But you may be able to find it.
I might have to hunt it down.
Okay, now let's bring ourselves up to date, 2013, with another show about idols turned wrestlers. And that'll be Wannabe the Strongest in the World.
Yes. This is your favourite about John Cena, is it?
Oh, it's better than that.
So,
rap album time.
There's two members of the idol group, what are they called?
I don't know.
Sweet something or other. Or are they just called Sweet? I can't remember. Anyway, Hagiwara Sakura is the, our main character. And her teammate, Sakura Hagiwara and Alina Miyazawa of Sweet Diva, that's it. And they're in this photo shoot at a, wrestling gym, and Alina annoys one of the wrestlers, and so they have a fight, and Alina is humiliated by this wrestler. So Ryo Kazama, isn't it? That's the wrestler. And so Sakura Hagiwara challenges her to a fight to maintain the image of Sweet Diva, and so they have a fight and she loses.
Yep.
But then decides that she's going to turn pro to get a rematch and get her revenge. That's the first episode.
Oh, it's not like a death match, it's a haircut match as well.
It's a haircut match, yes. I do apologise.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned, almost said death match there. That was the enticing thing for the next episode of Paris San Shiro, which they were going to have a death match.
Was that where the model would die? Like the...
I assume so. Yeah. So you appear to be hurling Roxy. So, what do you think of this happening? A show you have to watch with your sound to everyone wonders what you're watching.
To be honest, nobody was in the house, so I didn't mind too much, but it feels like one of those, I can't believe it's so new. It's one of those shows that will be instantly forgotten, but in fact, no, because nobody should have a memory of this. And I was thinking, what kind of like creepy people would watch it? And there's a bit where you hear the crowd shouting, and it's like, "Phew, a national idol has her legs spread wide open." And I was thinking, that's the kind of people who would watch this.
I was going to say, the people who watch it are, yes, the people who are drawn in the cartoon watching it.
But and what's worse, because you know I'm not a big Air Master fan, this just made me think of Air Master.
What, you were wishing you were watching Air Master?
I just think this is so... it's a bit more... I'm not even saying more perverted. This is Air Master. This is a modern-day Air Master.
It's not Air Master.
Will I tell Niall this?
It's not Air Master. How dare
you? Oh, I know a lot of people like Air Master, but I don't.
Yeah, I know you didn't like Air Master. That's why I didn't make you watch the wrestling arc of Air Master, which is so much better than this.
Me and Air Master don't gel. And with this definitely
yeah,
doesn't
this
gel.
Is nothing like... There's no gratuitous shots like there is in
Oh,
this
there's
in
a
Air
lot
Master.
Of upskirt stuff in the first episode.
Oh yes, but no, nothing as bad as
Oh, there's upskirt
this.
And there is... There's this. Oh, this is the Queen's Blade. Was it Queen's Blade?
Yeah,
wrestling?
I was going to say. Yeah, this is closer to Queen's Blade.
Oh, gosh. It's awful.
And I assume that was the audience they were going for. But weirdly, the plot would be perfectly fine if it wasn't animated the way it was, or the shots were taken the way it was. The actual plot would be perfectly fine in a better made show.
Yeah, I obviously didn't watch this because I was rubbish, but a quick Google image search tells me that I probably wouldn't want to watch this. It looks very gratuitous.
Yeah. Apparently, those characters are the same age as the characters in Metal Fire Victory as well.
Oh, okay, these guys were obviously given, or girls were obviously given growth hormones.
Yeah, they've been apps. other variation of
puzzle. Doping.
In it, on Crunchyroll, it has a respectable score, if I recalled, as well.
Well, that would be in part. The reason that sort of thing happens is the people who kept watching it are obviously going to carry on rating it, whereas the people who didn't like the first episode.
Yeah.
Around.
Yep.
Yep, that certainly was a thing we watched.
It was wrestling.
And do you know what? It's not even the worst thing they could have adapted from recent women's wrestling.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what it was called, but there is something far worse. And I assume this is actually worse on the Blu-ray release, because there's a lot of steam hiding things in this first episode on the TV version. But yeah. And what was even better about the only good thing which came from this was the guy who was doing reviews of this for the Wrestling Observer website.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, I can imagine.
Proving that Dave Meltzer will accept anything you submit to him. Some guy was writing extremely long, extremely detailed write-ups of everything which happened in his house. I've no idea who was reading them. Obviously was a fan, yes.
It's grim.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. But like I said, the plot, I think it's perfectly fine. It's just the way it's shot. It's perfectly standard sports plot, at least for that first episode. And it's nothing like...
Oh, somebody back me up. Somebody back me up.
I was just going to say, I haven't seen Air Master, so I can't comment if it's as gratuitous, but I'm assuming, seeing as Air Master seems quite popular, that it's probably not.
It's not that popular.
Yeah, this is one and the same.
But people who like Air Master really like it.
I've just obviously been surrounded by people who've been fans.
But people who don't like it don't normally accuse it, or Anthony's accusing it of it. They accuse it of being ugly.
Oh, it's highly offensive what I'm saying. I completely understand why an Air Master fan...
It's good. The sort of people who like this show wouldn't like Air Master because they'd complain about the character designs being too ugly.
Yeah, this looks like it kind of fits in the kind of Icky Tosin...
Yeah, Air Master category. I bet I'm not the only one who thinks this. I bet if you went to Crunchyroll, Control F, Air Master, on the comments, they'll... See, give it a there test, we, give it a test.
I'm going to get put in Wannabe the Strongest in
the
World.
Oh, yeah, just search it, yeah.
And then search for Air Master as well with that.
If my keyboard...
Oh, he's coming up with excuses.
No.
If you have been spoiled, people are comparing it, and not in the way that I am, but they're just saying it's like a fighting thing.
Yeah.
All right then.
Yeah, I'm not really saying anything.
Damn it! I should have influenced Google before I came on, and
yeah, I was gonna say here's somebody saying you shouldn't watch this if you do like Airmaster.
Oh yeah, it's definitely worse than Airmaster, but. It's up there. Wait, I'll tell Niall about this. I know he loves Air Master.
He's going to disagree with you. He's going to agree with me.
The animation budget on Air Master looks better.
Well...
Yeah, it's by the director who did Dragon Ball. Is Air Master. Now this, I think you're deluded here, Anthony. This is straight up delusion.
Well...
Okay, let's come to my game. So, obviously, there's been a bunch of wrestling, leagues mentioned with acronyms. So now it's time to play a game me and Niall invented at Kitacon. Talking of Niall, called Anime Acronyms. So, the way it's gonna work, at least this time, and this will be you trialing this quiz for me. So I'm gonna give you-
No pressure then.
Yeah. No, no, it's no pressure on you. It's pressure on me for hoping this isn't the right way about doing this. We just figured there was a quiz somewhere in anime acronyms. Whether this is that quiz, well, I'll let the listeners decide. So I'm going to give you a name of something from an anime. You have to, you can get 2 points. The first point you can get is by telling me what the acronym of it is. And the second point you can get is by telling me what show it comes from.
I think I get, I kind of, is it not an example you could give? A tiny one?
Probably not.
I guess we should go. Gary will be first anyway, because he's the guest, so it's fine.
Yeah, Gary go first. Okay, so World Welfare Works Association. World Welfare Works Association. Do you know what the acronym is, and do you know what show it's from?
I don't know what show it's from. And then with the acronym...
Do you want me to explain what acronyms are?
No, I'm just trying to think how they would have put it as an acronym, whether it would just be like 3 W's or whether they'd have done W cubed or something. Or whether they'd have just done a word that sounds like it, like Wii U.
So what are you going to go for?
3 W's?
No, that's not quite right.
Can you say the word again, please?
World Welfare Works Association.
WWA?
No, you missed a W out. It's either WWWA or 3WA, and it's from Dirty Pair.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, over to you, Anthony. As I said, this may be a zero score draw. Okay, Anthony, highly advanced materializing equipment.
HAME.
Nope. And still can guess the
show. Evangelion?
No. Gary, do you know? Highly advanced materializing equipment.
Is it HADME?
No.
I wouldn't know the anime.
Okay, it is HIME.
HIME
or HIME, yes. Or HIME. My HIME is what it's from.
I've seen the first couple of episodes of that. Yeah.
We did, yes. And we discussed how it's a terrible acronym, I think, as well. Okay, back to you, Gary. Voodoo Organic Metal Extension Robot. Voodoo Organic Metal Extension Robot.
Vuma?
That is correct. And
they are from AD Police and...
Correct. Well done. So he's got 2 points. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony, chance to catch up here with Home for Infinite Losers.
Yes. It's from Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
I'm trying to think how it's done. Wait, I don't know how... it's hell, isn't it? But I don't know how you... HFIL. Yeah.
That is correct.
2 points.
Yeah, that was from the edited version. Where they didn't want hell on t-shirts, did they? So they changed it. Okay, back to you, Gary. Vertical one-man tank for offensive and manoeuvres. Vertical one-man tank for offensive and manoeuvres.
Not a clue.
Anthony, do you know? You've had a chance to assemble
vertical
it in your head.
Vertical one-man tank.
You've had a chance to abbreviate it in your head.
Yes. For offensive and manoeuvres.
VMOF? Oh, I don't know.
No.
Oh,
you know what the show is?
Ghost in a Shell.
No, it's Votoms from Armored Trooper Votoms. Okay, back to you, Anthony. Ground effective reinforcement of winged armament with locomotive knee joint.
Oh my gosh. What? Ground G.
Ground effective reinforcement of wing armament with locomotive knee joint.
I haven't got a clue.
Gary, do you have a clue?
No.
Is Gerwalk from Macross. It's the technology which allows the planes to turn into robots, I believe. Or it's the halfway mode, I think. I can't remember exactly which one it is. It's something to do with the transformation. I think it might be the mode in between where it's like a jet fighter with legs.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Gary, back to you. United Nations Space Navy.
UNSN?
Ooh.
No. Do you know what show it's from, Ryan?
I don't, but I was going to guess Martian Success in a Disco.
No. Is the show Gundam Wing? No.
No.
I'm going to guess the acronym. UNS?
No, it's UN Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey's band.
Yes, that's correct. Anthony, Dimension Riff attuned gargantuan organic neototype. Or it might just be neotype. It may be a typo. But Dimension Riff attuned gargantuan organic neotype or neototype.
Say it again. That's so hard.
Dimension Rift attuned gargantuan organic neototype.
Is it dragon? Yes.
It is. What's the
problem? The only thing I can think of dragons in Card Fight Vanguard or whatever it was.
No, it's not. Gary, do you know? Probably not. I'd be surprised.
No.
Crosshand.
Oh, yes. That makes a lot of sense now. Damn it.
The one thing about that show, which does make sense. All right, Gary. Here we go. Noted entities with extraordinary talents. Noted entities with extraordinary talents.
So would that be next?
Oh, well correct. Done.
Wouldn't have a clue what it was from, though.
Tiger and Bunny.
Do you know where it's from?
Yes.
You are correct. Okay, Anthony, here you go. Manipulative order, build and industrial labours extended suit. Manipulative order, build and industrial labours extended
that
suit.
That must be mobile suit.
Yes. Which one is it from?
Oh, well, yeah, so have I got a point for that? For saying mobile?
You got a point for mobile suit, yes.
I'm going to say G Gundam.
No. Gary, do you know which Gundam have abbreviated mobile suit to that?
Mobile suit Gundam?
No, Gundam Wing.
That's the obvious choice as well. I thought that's too obvious.
Yeah, because that was the one where they started going crazy with acronyms, if I remember correctly. Like, they even had... Yeah, even Gundam itself was like...
Gundam that's what it's made of, isn't it? Gundanium. Alchemy. Is that not the case for previous Gundams? Oh, I did not know that. Wow.
Okay, Gary, last one for you. Ansatsu Senjutsu Tokushu Butai.
Yeah, I've not got a clue.
Can you say... Oh, unless he wants to guess what it's from, I guess.
Do you want to guess what it's from?
No, that's well and truly over the
Say it again, because I feel like we've recently just...
Ansatsu Senjutsu Tokushu Butai.
It's not Gurren Lagann, is this?
No.
So I don't know what it stands for, or what it...
It's Anbu from Naruto.
Oh! Say what it stands for again.
Apparently it stands for Ansatsu Senjutsu Tokushu Butai.
Oh, that's pretty good. No.
I never knew that. I just knew Anbu was Anbu.
Anbu, you've won, but unless you get this wrong and Gary somehow miraculously knows what this is.
Mm.
Okay. Physical quantity, alternation, natural deconstruction, organized research agency. Physical quantity, alternation, natural deconstruction, organized research agency.
Is it, I don't know. Nor do I know the show.
Gary, do you know?
I don't.
Is Pandora from Darker Than Black.
Oh.
But Anthony's the winner. 5 points to 3.
See, the funny...
That quiz
well, at least we didn't score no, zero, no, no. So it wasn't a complete
The funny thing
out.
Is, if you'd not have got
I like
next...
how there was acronyms from shows I've watched that I didn't know were acronyms from shows
yeah,
I've watched.
Yeah, it was a learning, especially the Ambu one. And if you'd not have got next, I would never have got Tiger and Bunny. So it's...
Yeah, see, I got next, but then I didn't immediately think of Tiger and Bunny. For
Teamwork.
Some
I think this worked better.
But even Vuma, when Brian spelled it out, I never recall them saying what Vuma stood for. And I was like,
No, they didn't in the original series, but they felt they had to later on, apparently.
Because that was why I said AD Police and Bubblegum Crisis. Because again, I was thinking, I don't know when they would have first coined the acronym, possibly AD Police, but don't know.
Yeah, I think it will work better as a visual thing. So if you could see on screen.
Oh, the actual, like, kind of. Typography.
Yeah, because then you could have the fun of me start arranging it in so that it started off with ones you could work out from the initials, and that would lure you into a false sense of security for the ones you couldn't.
Yeah, the ones where the acronym isn't as easy.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them.
Because even the WWWA, that's printed on the base of the Dirty Pest statues that I own, and yet I still didn't get the answer. For shame. It actually has that on there, but again, I could never remember what it stood for.
And it's, and Anthony obviously ran into the problem of it's hard to say WWW and remember to put the third W in.
Yes.
It's tough. But I still won.
You still won.
You did.
Okie doke. Anything you want to plug, Gary?
Not really. People can follow me on Twitter when I occasionally use it at Gary Hedges or one word.
Okay, I'd like to plug remembering to watch the videos you asked to watch the podcast.
Yes, I will do that next time.
you're not the first one, but at least you were honest about it.
I was going to say I was brutally honest. So
I'm pretty sure there's been people who were bluffing on the podcast.
Oh yeah, this bit. Oh, I remember that. I think yeah.
I don't think I haven't thought about changing the entire podcast just to a quiz. So rather than talking about the show, I'll just quiz you on the show instead.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be good.
And I'll also plug my Twitter at awesome_enging. Anthony, you have any plugs?
I have Twitter, which is AntAskew, AntAskew, and also Adventure Bastards. Not that that's any more important than me Twitter, it sounded like it.
Okay. Are you going to plug the other Adventure Bastards?
Yeah, because I do the voiceover for us. But I would have done it anyway. There's us, which is the gentleman, and there's also a female group as well, which another bunch of people that we know. It's just a different story, different role play, and they're doing it as well. Theirs already has more views than what we do, so yeah, maybe they don't need plugging at all.
You have to pick the game up, Anthony.
I don't understand. Like, it's probably a good. I've not watched it yet, I'll be honest, but it's already got more views. At least as an opening episode, it got more views initially within its first couple of days.
Maybe they're better at hyping it than you.
Possibly.
Are.
Possibly.
Do they have more Twitter followers than you?
Nah. Nah, they've got cosplay followers. A lot of them do cosplay and stuff, so... People love cosplay.
Maybe you have to start doing yours in cosplay.
Oh, they're not... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually looking for a lot of cosplayers at the minute for Expo. I've got one, and I'm looking for a few more. Well, one more. One that I can just buy.
Is that made up?
No,
that
was just
on
a joke.
Facebook?
That was just a joke, thankfully.
Thank God.
I've seen that, I was like, oh my God.
Otherwise I'm staying at home.
But, yeah, but surely you could all cosplay as your characters while doing
we
your
could,
show.
But...
Maybe that
my character's too badass. I cannot do my justice.
I think Askew's going to do a want to be the strongest in the world cosplay.
Yeah.
And Perrin could DM in a mask.
Ooh, harsh.
Yeah.
No, because it's the mask of the
Alicante. But yeah, the latest episode of that that we've done is a great... My character, I don't want to spoil it, in case anybody actually does care, but it's a great twist.
I see, I've played that.
But yeah, this twist is my own doing. So...
No, I'm saying I can't remember. I can't remember what the masks are.
Ah, okay. Well, don't spoil that bit, because we're still doing it.
You've not come across
it yet. I put a mask on at one point, and I had sickness and diarrhea.
Oh, yes, I do remember what these masks did. Yes. I think I put one on and I envisioned something.
That's right. Because I was like, I'll put it on. And I had the shits.
Go find them until you turn into a vampire.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Wrong thing.
That'd be amazing.
I tell you, I have considered just taking the plot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures and turning
it would make a really good story for us. Really good.
It would. And you wouldn't be able to beat the things up, right? You'd just get massacred by them.
But yeah, go watch that if you've not watched. It's good. I hear the JoJo's DVDs are bad.
Yeah,
I don't get what's wrong. What are people saying?
Dub titles, not subtitles, so the subtitles are just of the dub.
Oh.
A translation
Japanese.
Of the, and like the menus look like no one's put any effort into them. So I was like, yeah, even though they're super cheap.
They are super cheap as well.
But obviously they put that much... that much effort into them. That's why they can get away with selling them that cheap.
They literally paid for the license, made a quick menu.
I have to say dub titles are a breaking, a deal breaker for me.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah, Mask and the Alligator. I should buy that.
Wow. Metal Fighter Miku, I think, is out of print because the DVD on Amazon is about 70 quid.
It's probably worth it.
Cheap bargain. Yeah, see, I think my role-playing group, it's been over 20 years now since we played Masks of the Alethotep, but I don't think they ever finished it. So maybe I should buy it and run it again.
Yeah, it seems quite long. I mean, we've been doing a lot of sessions and,
it's a big campaign.
Because you can go across the world, which we're in Shanghai at the moment.
Yeah. If you ever want to do another one, tell Perrin to get Walker
on the Wastes. Walker on the Wastes.
Yeah, that's like it's a similar world globe-trotting.
I think people are keen on doing a one where we're all badasses next. Like, you know, just walk into a room and just slay everything in the room, kind of badass.
Well, I was going to say, that's probably not comic thing that is.
But no, I enjoy it still, it's good.
Well, make Call of Cthulhu where you play as Cthulhu and other old ones.
If you want something for badasses, get Feng Choi or Feng Shui. It's about to get second edition, which is a role-playing game where you're playing Hong Kong action movie characters.
That sounds so good.
Sounds good.
It is super good, and the second edition coming out soon.
That sounds amazing.
Highly recommend it. I've had a lot of fun playing that game. And the rules are a lot simpler, and you get bonuses for how well you describe the awesome action.
That is one of my strong points. I am so good at telling the tale. I'm so good.
Which is always a lot easier when you're a martial artist character. You quickly begin to run out of ways of how can I shoot this gun in a cool manner.
I don't. Never gets old. Maybe for the watchers and the listeners, but not for me.
But yeah, so Pest the Perrin if you want to do a one where you play all the badasses. Good. That's a really good one for playing badasses. And you like Hong Kong
martial arts
and action movies.
Hugely so. Sounds good. Yeah.
Righto, I think that wraps the podcast up. And you can find this podcast, as always, at dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm, and all those other aggregational places. So, if you haven't, why don't you subscribe? Why there's a review? Because that helps more people find out about the tag team Dynamiting the Brain.
Bye-bye.
Oh my god!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.